groups that promote family planning and population control are meeting in London this week. One of their aims is to coordinate population programs with efforts to fight HIV and AIDS. That's a change from a historic conference 10 years ago. The strategies developed then largely ignored AIDS. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
A South African woman named Promise Mutembu found out the hard way about the lack of coordination between HIV programs and those that provide reproductive health services. She was HIV positive and found herself with an unwanted pregnancy. The clinic she went to gave her an ultimatum.
I went to a reproductive health service because I was pregnant. I think I was 21 at the time. And they could only, you know, give me abortion service on the grounds that I consented for sterilization, you know, because they were saying you are HIV positive and we can't guarantee that you are going to be able to use condoms now because you haven't been able to use condoms. So we are better off sterilizing you.
Mutembu says the root problem is that many government programs expect people who are HIV positive to abstain from sex altogether. That was not realistic for her, her HIV positive husband at the time, or most anybody else, she says.
We are sexual beings. It's our right to do so, and we need to be supported in order for us to live healthy sexual lives.
Leaders in the field of reproductive health acknowledge that they have not given enough thought to dealing with the sexuality and reproductive needs of HIV-positive people. Stephen Sinding, who heads the International Planned Parenthood Federation, says the movement frankly didn't deal with the issue 10 years ago as it met in Cairo to craft a global plan for population stabilization.
Even at the time of Cairo, there were many in the reproductive health community or the old family planning community who really didn't want to deal with AIDS. It was a disreputable disease. It was a disease of the socially marginal, drug users, commercial sex workers, and those who frequented them.
And AIDS activists were fighting their own battles and not interested in joining the existing family planning debate. So separate programs grew up to deal with these closely intertwined issues. These days, most of the money and energy is flowing to those fighting the AIDS epidemic, and family planning programs are struggling to get by. So there's a strong motivation now for those pushing for reproductive and sexual health care and rights to integrate with the HIV programs. This is not only an issue for advocates. Fred Tsai of Ghana says separate bureaucracies and funding streams create difficulties locally.
And when you compartmentalize the funds and what they are meant to do, how do you expect the ground floor in Ghana or somewhere else to decompartmentalize the funds and use it in the holistic way that we are talking about?
Tsai agreed that ideally countries should be able to build a system that addresses all of their health care needs and ask for funding that does that best. But right now, donors tightly control the use of the funding they offer, in part to reduce the chance of fraud and waste. As for Promise Mutembu from South Africa, she says she wishes women could go to one place that combines the services and sensitivities of family planning and HIV programs. Richard Harris, NPR News, London.